Hey, welcome to Unqualified, Not Disqualified. It's back to another episode. And you got me here. I'm Tim. Yep. And we got over here across from me is Nathan.
Yes, sir. Here I am.
Yeah. And if you look at us in the video, you see that there's no guest this time, but that's okay.
Yeah.
If you're listening to us, no, it's just the two of us and, of course, our wonderful cameraman, AJ, today.
Yes, sir. Yep.
It's great to have him. He's always been a good our part cameraman. Of us. A good part of our crew cameraman.
Yeah, that's like, true. That's true. I mean, we got Jake as well. Jake's good.
I just
Jake's
was more good. Like, he's an important man in our lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
AJ's and not always, just subjugate him to just a cameraman. No. So.
No. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Because that's not who he is. He's AJ.
He's AJ. And we love him.
To people who don't know him,
he's
that means
he's
nothing.
AJ. He's
but
AJ.
But to people who know him, it's like, oh, he's AJ. And it's like, oh, okay. But anyway.
That's science.
Let's get into this thing called our topic. And our topic
it's
is
the title of the whatever we're watching.
Yeah, the title is The Greatest Man to Ever Live. And no, I'm not referring to myself. I'm referring to Jesus Christ.
Wow. Caesar. like Genghis Khan.
Right.
George Washington. I don't know. I'm just running out of men now.
Yeah.
We're looking at Nathan.
Yeah. So
we're looking at.
We are talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And all about God.
Yeah.
And everything that came to mind while we were taking our notes. So I'll let Tim lead, like really and I will random. Follow.
You're gonna let me lead.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna let you lead.
Where
and I'll follow.
Where do you begin? But the beginning, except the before the beginning.
Mm.
So, let me just pull this in a little bit. There were many a prophetic word about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the prophetic words that came before him and all these different things about, like, what people thought about him.
Right.
And when you're somebody so important to history and you have these, like, things that are going to be done about you.
Right.
You get these ideas that are kind of put inside your head.
Yeah.
Where, like, the Pharisees, right? These guys were like, Jesus is going to be a great conqueror king.
Yeah.
He's going to have a throne that's eternal and forever raised on high and so great and powerful that it's going to be absolutely massive and destructive. And then if you actually read what was prophesied about Jesus Christ and you take a step back and, you know, it says in Isaiah 53, in the New King James Version, it says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as we were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him.
Yeah.
You want to start about a man who's had this conqueror king kind of title.
Right.
And you read that.
Yeah, and you're like, what?
And you kind of are like... Is that the guy that people were like, I want to be this guy?
Right, yeah.
You know, because you get that kind of story. Like, would you want to be that guy?
Yeah.
You know?
Probably not.
Not at all?
Not with that scripture. Not
with that scripture? How about this one? Now, hear me out. This one might tick you in the right direction.
Okay.
But he was wounded for our transgression.
Oh.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Yeah.
And by his stripes, we are healed.
Hmm. That last part, you know, by his stripes, we're healed.
This is once again prophecy.
Right.
Do you want to be that guy?
Was the one that gave humanity healing and everything else. Yeah, probably. But I wouldn't want to go through the stuff that he went through. Yeah. Absolutely not.
And I want to take...
And who would?
take a little step back. This was prophecy.
Yeah.
He wasn't... Like, they didn't know that he was going to be... I mean, all these words that were said, wounded for our transgression, abused for our iniquities.
Yeah.
But once again, it's that the stigmatism of the time, he's going to be a great king. He's going to be a warrior king.
Right.
And you read those kind of words and you're like... Is that the same two things?
Yeah.
You know, that's the idea I get when I think of, we talk about Jesus being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Right.
And you just don't get that same idea of just, this is the guy I want to be, you know?
Right.
I don't want to be this guy.
No. I get that. I took a little bit of a different twist there with how I started it. I was like, so the prophetic words and how we started, I was like, Isaiah predicted that a virgin Mary, or a virgin, would give birth to the King Emmanuel, and mm-hmm. that means God with us.
Yeah.
And so he predicted that before he mm-hmm. ever even knew that it was going to happen. Like, you know, obviously yeah. he yeah. was, obviously God talked and, like, spoke to him, I would have to believe. But, like, you know, it's like, okay, that's interesting. Like, someone, mm-hmm. like, he was the only one, I feel like, or many people didn't know, that there would be born a king that would be called Emmanuel. And he was one of the first ones to be like, this is really happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, and then Micah, in Micah 5, verse 2, it says, but you, Bethlehem, though you are a small, and I'm kind of doing my own version because there's a big word in there that I don't know how to pronounce, but it mm-hmm. says that you are a small, that though you are a small clan, or you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be the ruler of Israel, his origins from old, from ancient times.
Yeah.
And this was 700 years before Jesus was born. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you have that type of faith to be able to even say those words that God is going to be here on earth, you know, Jesus? How do you have that type of faith?
Yeah.
I mean, other than being, you know, other than God speaking those words directly to you.
Yeah. I mean, really.
Laying it on your heart. Like, I mean, that's a.
Yeah. I think I'm going to take a little side tangent, but even look at Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham didn't really have anything to go off of. He had what his fathers told him, and that's the same thing with Isaac.
Yeah,
is Isaac, you know, didn't hear about Moses' great tales about parting the seas and everything, like, and David being a giant slayer.
Right.
They had God.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Right. Which was enough. But.
Which is absolutely more than enough. But then you take a step into, like, Isaiah, like you said, and you see, you know, even before. You get to the New Testament, there's just this 400-year drought.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, Jesus, or God was still working
right.
and doing things, but there was nothing, there was a time of quiet with God
yeah.
and before this great revival and everything like that.
Right.
And it's such a neat thing to think about. And I think, you know, the Virgin Mary, it is more so that people knew that, yeah, this was a thing. Like,
right.
Because people were naming their kids Emmanuel because, like, oh my goodness, this is prophecy.
Right.
I want my kid to be something great, and he's going to be a king now.
Right.
You know, so they just started naming random babies out.
But You're Emmanuel. So there was,
there was these signs that followed Jesus, so that way they knew who to go with, you know?
Right.
And when people talk about it, you know, there's... from the grandland of the King of David, it says that the throne is... eternal and anointed, and that's what they were expecting.
Yeah.
Is this virgin that was from a king that was eternal and anointed, and this is what the scripture says. And you get this big idea about what Jesus' birth is going to look like. It's going to look really grand. It's really, really big and emphatic, and you're just like, this Bethlehem, and from our now time period, you get this picture of, like, Bethlehem being like a big grand city, and you then take a second back, and you're like, this wasn't...
I feel like I'm going to sneeze. That's why my face is like this. I apologize. I'm like, should I turn my mic off? Good Lord.
It's going to stick in your mouth. Just commit.
Bless you. Hopefully our cameraman can cut that out. But anyway.
Your sound man will forget that you sneezed when he tries to edit this.
Continue.
My goodness. But yeah, this town of Bethlehem, right?
Yeah.
And you think about this grand town.
Right.
In this, like, this grand town of Bethlehem is like, that's not what it was.
Yeah.
It's just this little town and a little backwoods city and backwoods streets.
Yeah.
And you get this picture of Mother Mary.
Right.
And I think especially the Catholic Church, like, makes these really nice pictures of Mother Mary. It's like, Mary, she's just a normal girl.
Right.
Joseph.
Right.
Normal dude. And you know what? God had a plan for him.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. And that was one of the things that I had put down. I was like, Mary was unqualified, and these are the type of stories that we kind of went off of. This is why we named our podcast Unqualified, Not Disqualified, is because Mary was unqualified, but God was like, you're not disqualified just because you're unqualified. Like, you know, and it's like, Okay, so if that's the case, then why do we come up with this agenda? Like, you have to be this and that in order to be qualified. You don't. Mary wasn't qualified, but God still used her. You
Absolutely.
Know? And the place that he was born, that wasn't qualified to be the place that he was born, but God still used it. The people that met him when he was born, those people were still, like, you know, they were important people, but they were still unqualified.
Yeah.
Like, what makes us think that, in two senses, right? What makes us think that we are qualified if we're being prideful?
Yeah.
And if you're not being prideful, what makes you think that you're not qualified?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's both ways.
Yeah.
And I think, you know...
That was kind of off topic, but you know
what I liked it. I liked it. I think, especially with... We're talking about just Bethlehem. It's like there was never anything grand about it.
Right.
You know, and the only thing that was grand about it was a big star appearing.
Yeah.
And you know who noticed that?
Yeah.
Three random dudes.
Right. Yeah, they're just like, oh, here I am. I see it. Let's go follow that.
Yeah, they're like three dudes like, bro, it's a star. But that didn't even come at his birth, you know. Yeah, there was nothing grand about this prophesied birth.
Right.
You know, it happened in most likely a cave.
Yeah.
Most likely, well, not most likely, it wasn't a feeding trough.
Yeah.
And clothed in rags.
Right.
You know, those aren't the things that you think of.
This isn't the person that you would make up to be the king of the world.
Yeah. This isn't the story you'd tell, you know?
Not at
Especially
all.
Especially even kind of these people who are kind of cast off.
Yeah.
Like, these are people that are running to where they need to go for a certain season.
Right.
And they're running. And, you know, once again, Jesus at that time, it was a bad time to be born. The king was trying to kill babies.
Yeah.
That was another prophesied thing. And you're just like, but he came.
Yeah.
He came in a time, he came in a place that was unqualified to meet him.
Right.
But he came and he met and he worked.
Yeah.
You know, it's absolutely amazing.
It's good stuff, dude. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think that, you know, as you talk about the birth, I found on a not long search, there's about 47 different prophecies about what Jesus would be.
Mm.
And this is before he came.
Yeah.
And you just look down and you're like, wow, that's amazing. But you see so much wounded.
Right.
And you get into this like thought process of like, you know, he needs to be trained.
Yeah.
You know, you expect somebody who's going to be king, right?
Right.
Where does he grows up, he somehow, if I was to write a story here, you get Jesus, he's somehow getting trained by high ranking officials, right?
Right.
He's getting trained by these great grand people.
Right.
And you know who he's getting trained by?
Yeah.
By his dad. And
yeah.
His dad's a carpenter.
Yeah.
And so he's getting trained in carpentry.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And and you're like, this is the start of a grand story, right? And it's like, no.
No, you wouldn't think so. You really would not. It's just, and that's the thing. It's like, but that's the way he wanted it to be. He wanted it to be a way of like, okay, I don't want people to see me in this great, like, that you can't approach me type manner. Yeah, like,
absolutely.
I'm so much better than you that you can't fall at my feet and be like, God, heal me from this whatever. Like, it's like, okay, if that's the case, then I'm never going to go and try to meet Jesus.
Yeah.
But he wasn't that person. He came to this earth and he hung out with sinners. He's hung out with people like me and you because we're not perfect. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
We all fail.
Amazing.
And it's like he came to hang out and to heal and to restore the people that hated him the most.
I know. It's so amazing. You know, I think it, like, even his youth, where he started with, you know, he went and he could have started a ministry when he was really, really young,
right?
Because he was wiser than the people in the temple, and the people in the temple are astounded by him, but he was submitted to his father,
right?
And his earthly mother. And he's like, and they came and they asked him, what are you doing? What are you doing? You boy, it's like, I'm doing my father's will, but I will submit to you.
Right.
And I think that's something that, like, from a youth, not just saying youth, but as an adult, I need to do more.
Oh, absolutely.
Is be more submitted to people that are important to me.
Right.
And in authority.
Same here.
That I need to learn. Oh my goodness.
Same here.
I'm learning to be more accountable with the things I don't want to be accountable with. Yeah. And it's like a lot of personal things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just learning from his youth is that, like, he could have done something grand right then. Yep. And he could have started that ministry off right there where he was saying, yeah, this is going to be my start, but he didn't. And he took a step back. He's like, I'm going to follow it God's way.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is really hard. It is hard to do because, and Jesus was human.
Yeah, he was.
So he went through and had the same like problems that we did, but he was a perfect man.
Yeah.
And he's the only perfect man to ever live. And now it's like, okay, but he went through those things.
Yeah.
He faced everything that we ever have experienced, and we're like, oh, this is gonna defeat me. No, because God already has defeated it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, crazy. So it's like, why would we think that something can defeat us when God's already defeated it?
Yeah. It's really like, well, he started it and he finished it, you know. He grew up a normal life for 30 years, you know. He was a simple carpenter for 30 years, and once again, if we're talking about the greatest man of all time, you know, you're not looking in a storyboard. You're not looking and going, 30 years, carpenter. That's not what you're thinking about.
No, not at all.
But he came to understand and to know what we went through and what we did.
It's true.
And, you know, I think, you know, even before he started his ministry, there's one great story of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And, you know, John the Baptist was a prophesied man as well.
Right.
But he came and he foretold that Jesus was coming.
Right.
And Jesus showed up and he's like, ah!
Whoa.
like imagine, like he knew.
Yeah.
Imagine meeting the greatest man of all time. Like, what would you do? Like, if Tom Brady showed up right in front of you, what would you do?
I mean,
tell me stuff
like,
later.
I would probably, you know, sing his praises and be like, oh, you were such a great quarterback, this and that. But I get that.
Yeah. And that's the kind of hero mentality that he had. But, and you know, Jesus came up humbly.
Right.
And he, you know, he said, can you baptize me?
Yeah.
And John was like, what?
Right, like, huh?
imagine Tom Brady. He's like, can you throw a football to me?
Right, right. Like, let's talk about unqualified, not disqualified, right there.
You're what?
You want me to do what?
You want me?
You should be baptizing me, not you baptize, or me baptizing
exactly,
you.
Exactly what John said.
Yeah.
He's like, I am unworthy to even tie your sandals.
Right.
But to the ministry that Jesus wanted to start was that kind of recognition of that's who he came for.
Right.
And I love painting this picture of, where did Jesus' ministry start?
Right.
John the Baptist.
Yeah.
He came not to do what he wanted to do, but he came and he was submitted and he got baptized to please the Lord.
Right.
And he came up and a dove just showed up. And it's like, as a culmination of the youth, and once again, is that it's, you start off, you're born, man, you're nobody. You showed up one time to a temple and they kind of liked you.
Yeah.
Like 20 something years later and you're old and you're a carpenter and you go and you get baptized.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wow. Like, that's a start.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there was before, of course, there was the wine, turning the water into wine, but you know, I think that just paints a better picture because that's when he really started to move.
Right.
When he really started to go. And you know, we're kind of getting into this, like, what did Jesus do as a ministry?
Right.
And, you know, I think Jesus had a lot of ministries.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't just one thing.
No.
Because he performed miracles.
Yep.
He teached and he preached.
Right.
And he taught different things. And when I say teach and preach, I mean, like, he taught different things from the word. He knew the word so well that he could teach someone how to do it. Yeah. And he preached, he took from what the word had and expounded upon it.
Right.
And then just the way he presented himself, the way he walked and the way he talked, just really the different ways that he did everything. And you know, could you start us with like a miracle that Jesus did that you can think of? Like, what did he do?
Right.
What did Jesus do as a miracle? Like, what's something that stuck out to you?
So I had put down, obviously feeding the 5,000.
Feeding the 5,000.
And I was talking to my mom about it, and I just thought it was funny. I was like, he put fish and bread in the baskets of these disciples of his, and it never ran out. And there was more to go around. It just, there wasn't like, oh, well, you know, fish fell from heaven. No, it was in the basket, and it just kept going. It's like, what?
Man, I can't go. I just,
I thought of funny miracles. It's like, to me, that's funny because it's like it just never ran out. Like God was just like, well, you know, we have fish and bread, but I'm going to make something out of this, and I'm going to teach you that if you trust me, then I can make your little more than enough.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that I struggle with personally, because I love where I'm going to take a little thing. I think it's from The Chosen where I watched this. But like Peter got frustrated and was like, man, I need to figure out where, I think it's even written, one of the disciples gets frustrated, but somebody got frustrated, like, we need to feed these people or let them go, because otherwise we're going to have a massive panic. There's going to be people dying in the streets. And Jesus, like, bread, fish. Yeah, yeah. and even in my own life,
2 and 5 somehow turned into 1,000.
The 2 and 5 turned into 2 and 5,000. But even in my own life, I've seen it. I've seen it happen where it's like, I've seen it in my own household go, I don't know how we're going to get food this week.
Right.
And then it's just, oh, there's the Rich with a truckload of meat. He just got meat, just said, drop it off for whatever reason. And you just like, that's the food for the week.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a weird faith to have. And it's definitely a faith that's hard to get, but it's a faith that is so important.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
It's a faith that you can only get through going something that's a struggle.
Yeah.
It's because that type of faith is only it's a God, I have nothing and you have everything that I need. And so God, give me what I need because I know you can.
Yeah.
And it's that mindset, it's like I'm nothing without you.
Yeah. And the thing is that Jesus just doesn't give what we need.
Right.
He also always gives more. Absolutely. And I think I kind of looked through a list of miracles that Jesus did. I was kind of skimming through. I was like, okay, I remember this one, remember that one. And then I realized as I was reading through these, I was like, but it wasn't just one that he did.
Right.
It didn't just take a piece.
No.
And just say, this is all you get, and that's all you get. Right. And you feed. Like, it's the same thing with even what you just said, feeding all those people. It's like, well, he just fed a whole bunch of people. He also taught them the word.
Right.
He didn't just feed them. He feed them in both spirit and in body.
Right.
And I love personally in, oh my goodness, my eyes just went totally blind. In Luke 5:18-16, you might know this one. This is the story of the man that was dropped into the building that Jesus healed. And it said, Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop to let him in with his bed, through the tilling into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, they said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven." I just want to take a little break right there. How dumb is that? If I as the man, because I would do this.
Right.
I would be the guy that was like, my guy's paralyzed. This guy does healings, right? All right. How are we going to get him in? All right. Now, we're going to get him in through the roof. The roof. Okay. We're going to take off all the shillings. Okay. Right. We're going to get rope tied to his bed. Yeah. Drop him down in, and then Jesus can touch him, and we pull him right back up.
Just right back up.
And he's good.
Yep.
So then he can keep on doing whatever he was doing. It's good. And keep on teaching. Yeah. And you get, like, everything goes well. And, like, Jesus is like, open up the roof. I guess that's fine. And just, like, does his thing. And
he could have just went through the door.
Yeah. And he comes in and he's like, wow, that's great. This is Jesus, of course. Yeah, wow, that's great. That's great faith. Your sins are forgiven. Bro. Like, that's not what you wanted.
Right.
And I love what it continues to say. It says in, this is continuing from 21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to say to themselves, who is this man that blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts and answered them and said, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? But that who is paralyzed, I say unto you, arise, take up your bed, go into your house. And immediately he rose before them, took what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today.
Yeah, it's good stuff, dude.
And I love this whole encompassing message of it wasn't just healing.
Yep.
Because all of those men who took him in and took him into the household said, I came here for healing.
Yeah.
I came here for this one thing. I came here. My Jesus is this one thing, if this makes sense. Because Jesus isn't a genie.
No.
And Jesus isn't just, I brought him in here. You're going to heal him and we're going to pull him right back out.
Right.
But he said, your sins are forgiven.
Yep.
And you know, I would say the exact same things that those Pharisees said is like, you can't do that. And it's like, but I'm better.
It's good stuff.
You know, this is the greatest man who ever lived.
Right.
I have come to heal and restore.
Yep.
I have come to turn your life around. I have not come to just heal you of your sins, but I've come to give you new life.
Right.
So you don't have to go back to those things that you were once in.
Right.
You know, and that's exactly what all, like a lot of these miracles have.
Yeah.
A lot of different things, you know, even with something so simple as just talking to the woman at the well.
Right.
He didn't just tell her about her life.
Right.
He told her about new life.
True.
And, you know, that's what the greatest man who ever lived really did.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, he did so much more, and he taught them how to do things. He didn't just teach them, this is healing, just do healings. He didn't just say, this is redemption of sin, just redeem of sin. But he said, make a better life.
Right.
You know, and what do you think, you know, Jesus both taught and he taught from the Bible and he taught from his own self. Like, what do you think one of Jesus's best things that he taught was? This words or just teaching or one or the other?
Yeah. I mean, Jesus spoke in parables. It was, he taught us with stories, and it wasn't the way that most people would think. It's like, most people would be like, God's going to be like, you know, do this and that's it. Like, and then sometimes he did, but
that king mentality again, king mentality. Oh, he's going to come in and he's going to say, everybody
going to tell me what to do and then I got to do it. And that's it. And like, I mean, but there's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. So I had wrote down a couple of parables that he spoke about. It's the Good Samaritan, which taught us to love.
Yeah.
The lost sheep, which shows that the kingdom of God is accessible to all. And the persistent widow, which teaches us not to give up.
Yeah.
It's like those stories, it's more than a story.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that like heals our hearts. It's like that story is like, but why not me?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, God's like, we would picture him as someone that's like, why would you want to use me type like aspect, but that's not how it is. It's like he wants to use the lowest of lows to show that the highest of highs can be formed by him, because they are formed by him.
Yeah.
You don't get to a high until you have went low.
Yeah.
You can't experience high until you've been low. Mm-hmm. And the only one that takes you higher is the one that is the highest. You know, it's like, what are we doing? Why are we thinking that we're going to get higher without him? It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You might get to the middle, but that's not really where you want to be.
No.
You want to get to the highest. That's what we're striving for.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is really important to not just single one out. He taught a lot, and my brain just died again. I'm very sorry. But I like what he taught from the word.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he said is in Matthew 22 36 through 40. And these are wise people coming to him. And these are smart people that know things, and they want to test Jesus about the knowledge of God, because they want to know, is he really the Messiah?
Right.
And so they ask, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets.
Right.
And I think that these two things hang the balance of everything in the world.
Yeah.
Because if you have God and he is your first, you will understand the universe better. You will have this hope. You'll have this ability to have faith in things that are better to come. you know, maybe like we said, feeding the 5,000, like maybe you're struggling with not having enough food. You have God.
True.
God can help you pull through.
True.
And it's rough to think that these two hold everything that the prophets had, but it's true. Is that when you look back at Abraham, it's like, what did he have?
Right.
He had God. That's yeah. it. What did Moses have? Well, he had a couple stories from about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that was about it.
Right.
And he just had God. And I love that he even brought in the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to want what your neighbor has. You're not going to want what your neighbor is, whatever your neighbor does. And even when your neighbor struggles, love your neighbor as yourself. You're not gonna look at your neighbor and go, man, that sucks. Yeah. You're not going to look at your neighbor and go, man, that's terrible. Man, you could be doing a lot better. But you're taking these things that happen and you're saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, when my neighbor succeeds because he just got a brand new Maserati, whatever, I'm going to be so happy that he got a Maserati.
For sure. And I would have rotten it, but
yeah. but you're not going to be jealous that he had it. No. You're going to be so thankful that he had, you know, God blessed him with this kind For of sure. thing. And you're not going to be, you know, wondering, man, is he really doing this thing right now? Is he really trying to do whatever? And you're like, no, I'm going to love him whatever he's going through. Like maybe he just had the worst fallout of his entire life. And you know what you're saying? I love you. I love you as myself. And I see you're struggling.
Yeah.
I love you. And so I love you like I love me. So I'm going to help you get up.
Yep.
I'm not going to watch you struggle. I'm not going to watch you suffer. I'm going to love you as myself. Yep. And I'm going to put myself in your shoes. What would I feel like? What would I need to climb out of?
Right.
And it's just those things that Jesus said and Jesus taught. And Jesus did speak in parables. And I love even the parables. But I think I'm going to... I'm going to move on because you touch parables very well.
Yeah.
Good work. but so what do you think about how Jesus presented himself? Like he didn't even have to speak. Sometimes he just walked around and just presented himself in a certain way that made it even better. What do you think he presented himself? How did he present himself?
He presented himself as someone that was not what we would make him up to be like.
Yeah.
Like he died on a cross for our sins, and we'll get to that later. But you know, it was beyond that. He wanted to present himself in a way that you could be like, okay, I can go have a conversation with this person.
Mm-hmm.
I can go have a conversation with the King of Kings.
Crazy, right?
I can go be a friend, and there's songs that say this. Yeah, I'm a friend of Jesus, you know?
Oh, I was
Jesus
gonna say,
is a friend of mine.
Jesus, friend of sinners.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, so if I can be his friend and if he can be mine, like what? I have what I need in this life.
Yeah.
Because he's what I need in this life. When you finally realize that, you have cracked the code.
Yeah.
Because really? It's like, you're like, I don't need these things. Because at the end of the day, they're not coming with you.
Yeah, that's something that I crazy to think about sometimes. Yeah. It's like, man, I'm gonna need to save up and really get things. It's just like, nah, they're not going with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. It's nice to have things, but don't put those things over God. Is what is really important.
Yeah,
it's like don't not have things. That's not what God did. God wants you to have what you desire, but He wants you to be aware that you should desire him more than anything else.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so if that's the case, I can still have what I want.
Yeah.
As long as it's pleasing unto God. But like, you know, God's not sitting up there being like, nope, can't have that. That there? No.
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 No. You can't have that. No, that's not the way that God is. No. He's like, I see you want it, but let's work towards it.
Yeah.
I'm not just, sometimes he will just hand you things, but sometimes you got to work really hard for it.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, okay, but that's fine. Yeah. It's like, I have to work towards things, but I have something to work towards. It's like, well, then I don't have it. I have a worth and I have something, you know, that is a value because I work towards it, you know? And it's like, okay, well, if that's the case, then, you know, what am I doing to give God the glory for the things that I do have?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I I take the wise words of David McKernan, and a man that I've seen live the words that he speaks, is delay is not denial. Just because you don't have the things you want doesn't mean they're not going to happen.
True.
And you know, I struggle to live that, and I honestly repeat that to myself a lot.
Yep.
But, you know, it's those things that he walked with people who didn't have. And he talked with people who were lacking.
Right.
And he talked with those who were just sinners and in pain. But when he went to the people that he did know, that knew,
right?
You know, I think of Jesus as this, we put him as this peaceful person, as this man who's like kumbaya, like hippie peace. Yeah, like every time that Jesus spoke, he was in a happy, peaceful place. Everything's cool. But Jesus had these moments.
You're right.
Where he wasn't, like, as much as he walked in peace, as much as he walked in those things, yeah. as much as he walked and he calmed the storms, he's yeah. like, man, I'm peace.
Yeah.
Jesus couldn't stand
right.
when people took the name of God and just blasphemed it. And the best one I have is in Matthew 21, 12 through 15. And it says, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out those who brought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Mm. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he had did and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant or annoyed.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how important that is.
Come on.
I am really learning and really, really trying to dig into respecting God. And I can see myself kind of getting into this mentality
yep.
of not necessarily money changers, but yep. just this idea of like, what is the house of God?
Right.
You know, and I was at a service this Sunday and they were just talking about just the love of God.
Yeah.
And it's just respecting the love of God. It's like, well, everything that comes from God, you need to have the love of God to receive it. And it's like just all these different thoughts of like, but respect God.
Right.
But respect his temple, but respect these things. Cause Jesus couldn't even stand to just watch them and just be like, you know, we think about in, you know, a modern society, we're like, oh, no, get that out of here. Get that out of here. No, Jesus yeah. was just flipping tables.
Yeah, he's just like, no, I refuse. He
could not stand there and watch that.
That's how we should be.
And that exactly. And we even need to realize that maybe we are the money changers, you know.
Yeah.
And we are the people who are standing there that are just like, oh, come get this little Jesus juice.
Right, yeah, this little Jesus juice, yeah.
But you got to realize that, like, we came here for Jesus. We right. came here. This is a house of God.
Yeah.
What do we come here for? We came here for God. We need right. to respect that thing and those things of God. And if we're not working towards those things in that place, maybe we need to take a step back.
Yeah.
You know, and that's rough. That's hard yeah. to say.
It is. Yeah. I mean, just kind of lead off that.
The next thing about beating and whipping. No.
Yeah. No. I mean, and that is where we're getting.
That's where we're headed.
this is you know, the one of the last things that I wanted to say was before we get into the real meat and potatoes of
the real reason why he's yeah. the greatest yeah. man to ever live. Yeah.
Because we've touched on it.
We've kind of grazed.
He's already great. It.
I mean,
but we're going to make him the greatest.
Well, I'll let you say what you want
yeah.
to say.
Yeah, so kind of going off what you just had gotten done saying, like, for the disciples that they had the chance to sit and be awake with him and pray
oh
with
my
him.
Goodness.
And it's like, no, I'm going to sleep. God asked you to do one thing, sit and pray with me.
Oh my God.
And it's like, nah, I got to go to bed. You know, it's getting late. I got school tomorrow. No.
Yeah, the disciples got to go to disciple school. But I was looking at even before that, where the Last Supper, right?
Yep.
Jesus was not like hinting. He was yep. very blunt. He was very straight with these men. And I want you to think about from just take Jesus's perspective here. If you're going to die, what are you going to do? Hmm. You know, and I can't disagree with this thought of like coming in and just hanging out with your buds, right?
Right.
And like, that's not a bad thought. But to come in and to serve them, right? Like, if I'm dying tomorrow and I know I'm dying tomorrow, I'll be like, Nate, go make me a sandwich.
Go make me a sandwich.
You know, he came
extra
in.
Mustard.
He came in and he said, let me wash your feet. And it's like,
yeah.
What?
Right.
Huh?
Let me. What do you mean
by
that?
And like, even Peter was like, but Lord, let us wash your feet. And he said, no.
Right.
Let me wash your feet. Let me be a servant.
Yeah.
And so it came in and then it came in. And so the disciples are kind of on edge here, right? Right. Like, everyone's kind of like, something weird's going on here.
Yeah, there's something happening.
And the next thing he comes out with wine, and he comes out with bread. And he comes in and he's like, all right, I break this in remembrance of me for the body that is broken for you.
Right.
You know? And just that next thought of like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is your body? Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And he just took it, passed it around. This cup, this is my blood. This is the blood I shed for you.
Yeah.
And once again, you're just getting into this mindset of like, oh my goodness, what is happening?
Right.
And so all these disciples are on edge, and Jesus is just like, let me break bread with you one last time.
Yeah. It's true. It's such a great way to see Jesus on one of his last days here on earth, like in human form, that he was like, let me get close to you one last time. Because he could have been doing anything else. Like, our brain would be like, oh, I got to go to Disney World. Like, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. God was like, no. Like, let me share this moment with you. Let me get close to you one last time.
Yeah.
While I'm here on earth.
Yeah. And I think it even says that Jesus, like, took some of the disciples and just, like, hugged them.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
And then you get into the next part, which is going to the garden.
Yeah.
And you know, you already have the betrayer Judas, and he's already out.
Yeah.
But then you have these men, and like you said, Jesus here is so distraught. He's very, very distraught.
Yeah.
And you know, he just lost one, Judas, his buddy. Mm-hmm. And so Judas is gone, and now he takes his rest of his disciples in Matthew 26, this is a little bit long, but it's 37 through 46 in the New King James, where it says, and he took Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.
Yeah.
I just want to take a second and let that sit. Not as I will, but as you will. But if you can let this cup pass from me.
Yeah. If you could, you know, change this outcome.
If you could, I'd be cool, you know, not make me lose my body and my blood that is.
So since we're going there, I would like to.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
This is.
I feel like this is going to get deep.
This is about to get very deep, so I will warn you before we go there.
Is this the tissue warning? Is this the tissue warning?
Absolutely. If you have tissues near you, you might want to go ahead and grab some.
I have my shirt sleeve, so I'm good.
I'm just going to go through a couple of things that Jesus went through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And
being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the person that died on the cross for us, it's so sobering that you can, you know, be like, he did that for me. And it's like, why though? I'm just going to get into a couple. Jesus was spat on. A crown of thorns was put into his head. He was beaten 39 times with a whip called a flagrum. A flagrum was made of braided leather thongs with metal balls and sharp bones. He was mocked by people saying, Hail, King of the Jews.
Yeah. Insulted. Insulted to death.
Jesus fell three times while he was carrying the cross, which weighed 300 pounds.
That's pretty heavy.
The weight of the world and sins on his back, and walked almost half a mile up a mountain. And after all that stuff happened, he hung on the cross for 6 hours. He hung on the cross for 6 hours, and he was stabbed in the side to clarify he was dead.
I know.
Jesus died a death that we deserved to die, And now we know, and now we know all of that. We should want to serve him for all of eternity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we're done with the little bit of a serious part.
Oh my God.
I'll go to a funny part and also kind of serious at the same time. So I was in a pageant.
Oh my goodness.
And I was one of the people who wanted Jesus dead, according to the Bible. You know, yes. The people, the Pharisees and all of them.
The Pharisees, yes. Yeah,
they wanted Jesus dead. So yeah. I was like, I was told to yell things, and I was like, crucify him, make him pay. And I'm like,
my gosh.
But now I understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And now I'm like,
yeah, the deeper,
I should pay.
The deeper.
I should be the one that was crucified.
Yeah.
And God's like, no, that's my job. Like, don't worry about that. Serve me.
I know.
Bring others to me.
Yeah.
And let's break bread again in heaven together. Like, bring these people that are on earth with you.
Yeah.
Bring them to me. Help them come to me. And you will have so many crowns in heaven. You know?
Yeah.
It's like...
That's crazy.
It's like... Do what I've called you to do, and I will give you everything you need.
I love that.
It's like, just do what you've been called to do.
Yeah. I even think it's hard to say. I want to get back a little bit deep, but just where Jesus was, and where Jesus was he's just been like you said, all his disciples fell asleep.
Yeah.
And they just did not sleep. And they put him in a place where he could basically they did everything. They fell asleep, so he had no one to help him. They had no one to be a companion with. So he had to do this alone with just God. And I tell you what, that's a lot harder. Just struggling on your own is a lot harder. And Jesus is like, help me.
Yeah.
And his disciples fell back asleep. He didn't even bother waking them up the second time. He's like, oh, they're asleep now. Went back, prayed again. And then he said, wake up. Soldiers are coming to kill me. And I love in oh my goodness, this is continuing in Matthew, I believe, and it says in 53, it says, or do you think that I cannot pray now to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scripture be fulfilled that it might happen thus, that in your hour Jesus said to the multitudes, why is that there? Anyway, that's what Jesus said. Sorry, I had another scripture. Apparently it cut that. In. But
why is that there?
He did not say that. But it's that line of I could have called 12 legions of angels if I wanted to, and you're taking me to die. I could call 12 legions of angels right now. But I'm going to wait to fulfill the scriptures, to fulfill what I've promised to do. And I love, even as you said, as he's on this cross, you know, he had nobody help him in the crowds. He just had everybody saying, make him pay. And just to think, like, he had hundreds of thousands of people worshiping him. Like, literally, they were putting palm leaves down and saying, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know, it's just walking through, it riding on the donkey, and it's just now nothing. Nobody's following him. And so you've got this picture of Jesus just like, I would kind of hate everybody. I would kind of put this kind of hatred as I was walking to this cross, as I was getting to this cross, I'd be like, man, I'm going for these guys who just cast me out and
yeah.
threw me in and just said, get this prisoner Barabbas over here. And they're putting right. me with other two guys. They're absolutely terrible. And I love what he says while he's walking. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. They will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? And you just get these pictures of like what Jesus was thinking on the way. What was he thinking about? Was he thinking about getting whipped with a cat of nine tails? Was he thinking about putting a crown of thorns on his head? Were you thinking about this 300-pound cross that he had to get a random stranger to help him to carry it all those miles across? Was he thinking about all of the pain that he just went through? You know, he's probably beaten in the jails. He's probably, you know, absolutely torn up, like organs maybe even falling out. And he's now taking this moment to these women who are crying for him and not saying, thank you for crying for me. He's saying, woe to you.
Yeah.
Woe to your sorrows that are coming. Woe to your things that are going to happen, because I can see that what's going through. I've borne these for you. Right. It's not for me. I don't want to be here. I am an innocent man put on a cross for you.
Yeah.
That was what his mindset was. That was what he was thinking about on the cross. And that's absolutely, like, I can't even say beyond amazing. Like
there is no words.
The words I thought of were words that were
humanly
were denying that it could be true.
Right.
Like that's where my mind was, like, blasphemous. Like, no, that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth of what he was thinking about.
Yeah.
And you know, he bore it all just for us.
Yeah.
You know, he bore it all for the people that abandoned him. Those people that left him in the garden. You weren't there for the people who were praising him just a couple of minutes ago. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna go for these people. Oh, they asked me out. All my friends got rid of me. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was sold for the price of a field, a small little field over in the corner. And you know, but what was he thinking about? What was he thinking about? He's looking at you.
Yeah.
He's looking at me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and kind of just to start wrapping this up, even though I'm sure we could go on for hours.
Absolutely.
I think it's crazy how he ends it and he's like, God forgive them for they know not what they do.
I know.
And it's like, how do you not know what you did?
These guys just gambled.
You saw the miracles he made. He did. And if you didn't, you heard about them.
Yeah.
You heard about his birth. You heard about all of these things
that were supposed to happen.
How did they not know what they did?
Yeah.
And I think what he truly meant is they don't know to the capacity what they did. They'll never know what they did until they die and either go to heaven or hell.
Yeah.
They'll never know. And he's saying, God forgive them because they know not what they did.
I think I even would look, because there were men right there, just looking, like Jesus could look, men right there just going, I'm going to win a cloak today because they stole his clothes.
Yeah.
And they were like, man, I'm going to win the cloak. Like looking at that, you know what I'd say? Man, you steal my clothes. But what did Jesus say?
Yeah.
What did Jesus forgive them for they know what not what they do?
Yeah.
You know, and even feeding him vinegar was prophetic. And it's just like, you're feeding a man dying vinegar. It's like, wow. And it's like, forgive them.
Yeah.
You didn't give me the best. You didn't give me this royal treatment. You put above my head, King of the Jews, and you put a crown of thorns on my head.
Yeah.
And you're like mocking me. Yeah. And it's like, but I did it for you. But I did it for you.
It's true.
That's absolutely amazing.
And I mean, there's so much more that we could share on, and there's so many more things
we really just grazed, like, all of these topics.
Absolutely.
Like, everything could be put into
one thing. We only have an hour with you guys, so we can't tell you everything. But I think that's enough to strike an interest. Enough to be like, that's, I want to know more.
I want to
know more.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, okay, so if that's the case, like, if I want to know more, get into the Word, pray, seek God, fast.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it doesn't end there. That's not where the book ends, not right. With death.
Right.
And if it's all right, I want to end just on one quick scripture here.
Sure.
And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be perceived in his name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with a power from on high. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't remember if I said that's in Luke 24, starting in verse 46. And this encompasses everything that Jesus died for. that you might live.
Right.
That you might live.
Yeah.
He did it for you.
It's true. I think one of the craziest things that'll ever be said by Jesus and to carry on through this whole entire existence is, God forgive them, for they know not what they do.
I think he says that to us almost on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, when we ask for forgiveness, I think, you know, if there was some sort of like instant replay, like let me say this again.
Yeah.
Like he'd do it an easier way, but he says it every time.
Right.
And he says it and he cares.
Yeah.
He cares about each and every one of our problems, each and every one of our situations. Because he didn't just die for our sins, he died for our healing.
Yeah.
He died for our lives. He died so that we could do more.
Right. Yeah. So, in saying all of that,
that's the greatest man who ever lived.
That is the greatest man.
And he died and he rose again.
Yeah. And now he's reigning on high.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to meet him. I can't wait to meet him.
I always talked about giving Jesus the hey, just like, how's it going?
Here's the guy.
I know. It's just like the most informal, like,
yeah,
like hello.
Yeah. Well, Jesus has a sense of humor, but anyway. Yeah. God is good.
Oh my goodness.
God is good.
You gotta love it.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a Facebook.
We do.
And our Facebook account is Nate and Tim.
Yes.
If you get on there, send us a text. If you have any interest in knowing more or just a conversation about anything,
really,
we're on there. And if you would like to, drop a like, drop a subscribe.
YouTube, you got unqualified, not disqualified.
Yeah.
You got a comment section.
Yeah, we
do. You can put a comment there. Yeah. We will answer best we can.
Yes, we will.
If you just say, hey, thanks for making us something funny I laughed at or something that I cried at, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We absolutely would love
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. So in saying all that, now I will end us in prayer. Thank you, God. Seriously, thank you.
Yeah, really.
Thank you, God, for going the distance. Thank you, God, for taking me the distance to learn more about you, to learn the things that I may not know, to experience things that I may be the only one to ever experience for me. And it's like, okay, so God, if this is from you, then give us more of it.
Yeah.
You know, God, give us more of you. I pray that you've reached people that have not been reached before. God, I pray that you use us to reach people that have not been used by you before. God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.